And this is lesson 19 in our series on praying like Paul. So, everybody got papers? I think I got enough papers. All right. So, we're continuing with this series. And again, like I said, this is lesson number 19. So, if you got that, just bring those up. All right, praying like Paul, lesson number 19, so that you may walk worthy. Now, we've been talking about Paul's prayer in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, and let's read that again. It's there on the top of your paper. Paul prayed, "And so from the day we heard of your faith and love, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, in all spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." So last week we talked about being filled with the knowledge of his will. And again, this is not just knowing his will, but it's being filled with his will. And we talked about that word being filled has the context of being possessed by or controlled by. We shouldn't let our life be kind of a guess in what God wants us to do. We need to be controlled by that, to let the purposes and the plans of God be revealed in us. And the word knowledge there is epinosis, not just because God told us, you know, we read in the Bible, say, well, that's the will of God. No, what is he saying about that? Revealed knowledge. You learn what it says, but then what is God telling you about that? Epinosis, right? Higher knowledge, revealed, refined knowledge, where God can take something, as we talked about, you know, the old-time radios that you could tune, or your television, you could tune, you know, to the channel where it's supposed to be, but then there was also a fine-tuning knob, and you had to fine-tune that. Now all of our radios, you know, it's just, you push it and it goes there. You know, it's automatic controlled, but that wasn't the day, or you moved the rabbit ears, you know, to exactly the right location. Maybe you had to turn your TV a little bit. You know, we've all experienced that who are of a certain age. But I was my dad's control, you know, get up, okay, turn. He would sit in his chair, and I was turning the rabbit ears. Thankfully, I didn't have to do the thing of going up on the roof, you know, and adjusting the antenna up there, but I know some people had to do that. But, you know, so we can get, you know, basically on the knowledge, but then there's like a fine tuning. And my spiritual father always used the analogy of when we launched our first rockets to the moon. There's a general guidance system set up that was all in place, it was engaged, so that as the rocket took off, you know, it was had a trajectory, it had a place, all of that was set. But then there was fine adjustments as the rocket ascended and it met different temperatures and different wind situations and all the things to fine-tune it to keep it on trajectory. And that's like the epinosis of God. We can read in here, God wants me to, as we're going to say here, walk according to his will. Yes, but what's the fine-tuning on that? And the fine-tuning on my life might be just a little bit different than yours, because God has a different purpose for my life. I've come from a different position, my knowledge and understanding of those things. So Paul is not just saying, hey, read the Bible, again, because they didn't have one. And he didn't just say, hey, listen to the Spirit, because they might not know fully what the Spirit wants them to do. So Paul is doing what? He's praying for them. And I think that's instruction for us, that Paul didn't just leave it to them to get these things. He prayed that God would continue to reveal it to them. And again, we constantly come back to this point If God wants to do it, why are we asking? If this is his purpose, why are we asking him to do it? Why? I told you time and again, I know you know the answer, so I'll just say it. Because that's the way he gets the glory. If we don't acknowledge him in doing this thing, then glory comes to us. My prayers, my understanding, my knowledge, what I said, what I've done. And so it all comes back to me unless I acknowledge that it's him that is doing it. And so prayer is the way that we humble ourselves before God so that he is the one who's getting the glory. So last week we talked about the knowledge of his will. And now I want to move on to these next three phrases. In all spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now notice I put the word spiritual in front of both of those because that adjective modifies both of them. Spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. So it's not just modifying spiritual wisdom and then understanding or wisdom and spiritual understanding. It goes with both. All right, so we don't need the world's wisdom and we don't need our own understanding. We need help. We need to have the spiritual understanding of the Lord. And as we do, then the next phrase, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So that there is a walk for the believer that is worthy of the Lord. Now, I'll come back to that, because that doesn't mean we earned it. It means we're expressing it, but that's for later in my lesson. Don't read ahead. And so we need the spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding of the knowledge of his will. And so let's look at that, the first phrase there, in all wisdom. Let me first of all mention this word all. Because the Greek word passe means all that can be obtained, each and everything. So when it talks about all believers or all prayer or all of something, every scripture literally is all scripture, but it means each and every one. Not just, well, all the Bible is for instruction. No, each and every verse. Do you realize that? Each and every verse in there, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, they're right about general. Paul says, bring my cloak and my parchments. And it's like, what's that got to do with us? It shows us that Paul was constantly, even up to the time of his death, constantly seeking instruction, seeking knowledge, seeking understanding. You never get too old to learn. So when you need your blanket, because it feels like it's always cold, pick it up and then pick up your Bible and study. All right? So as to walk worthy of the Lord. So this is the purpose. All wisdom. The Greek word wisdom, Sophia, and we've probably encountered that. You've encountered that before. It's the root for our word, philosophia. Right? Right? The love of wisdom, philosophy. And the world has their own way of philosophy. These reading glasses are really bugging me, but I'll get past it for your sake. In all wisdom is biblical wisdom. It can be defined as the correct application of knowledge. Now, in the world or in the Greek use of the word, it was the pursuit of, in a sense, whoever's the philosopher of that day. And in biblical times, there were basically four main philosophies. But it said, well, I'm a follower of this philosophy, or I'm a follower of that philosophy. Well, isn't there a standard? You know, Rob Yandian, as he majored, got his master's degree in philosophy at OU, he was amazed as every time they studied a different one, well, this is the philosophy. Well, what happened to the last one? Why was Freudian philosophy okay until you got to Kant? You know, and so, well, now we got to change our thinking. And then comes Nietzsche, and it's okay, now we got to change our thinking to that. And it shows that the world's philosophy is changing. It's dependent on how you feel or what this guy thinks. So let's make him the guide for all the wisdom that we need. I need something more definite than that. I need some philosophy that's not going to change tomorrow. I need a love for wisdom that is not dependent on conditions in this world or situations or a response to something or a projection of something that the philosopher wants to see and set up a whole way of thinking for people. That's the world's wisdom, but I need wisdom that comes from God. I need spiritual wisdom. We'll come to that word in just a minute. So we've got the knowledge of his will. That's what Paul prayed, that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will. But then he says, in all spiritual wisdom. So he modifies this knowledge of his will with spiritual wisdom. Don't just say, well, this is the knowledge of God's will. But no, I need wisdom that comes through the Spirit. I need this spiritual wisdom, this spiritual application. And so, again, if wisdom is the correct application of knowledge, I need wisdom from God how to apply that knowledge. I might know it, but how do I apply it? How do I do this? Someone said, okay, let me see if I can get this. You're the one that told me this, I think. Maybe.
If it's good,
it came from me. How does this go? Knowledge is knowing that tomatoes are a fruit. Wisdom is knowing they don't belong in a fruit salad. All right? So maybe that's a surprise to you that tomatoes are a fruit, but they are. But they don't belong in a fruit salad. Because if you put them in mine, that salad is not going to get eaten. I do not want them with my oranges and pineapple and other grapes, whatever. So wisdom is the application of that. I can say, well, I know what God wants, but spiritual wisdom is how do I apply that? How am I going to make that apply for me? How am I going to help you understand how that applies for you? But I can't tell you fully how it applies for you because I don't know everything about you. And you don't want to tell me everything about you because you don't want me to know everything about you. All right, so what does Paul do? He doesn't know about all these people's lives. He's never met most of these people, maybe some of the teachers and maybe some of those that have come out from him when he was at Ephesus, but he doesn't know all these people. But he prays for God to do it. Because God can make that spiritual application to your life. God can bring that to you. And Paul says, pray for yourself, pray that you'll have it. No, Paul says, I'm praying this for you. I'm going to take my authority in this, and I'm going to pray that you have this wisdom, that you may be filled with all this. And not only wisdom, but also understanding. In the Greek language, the word understanding comes from the word sunesis. This word soon with different words becomes part of a lot of different things. Synergy, that's soon plus ergos, work. Things that work together to produce more than they could by themselves. Synergy. Synthesis, where you take different things and put them together for a different understanding. So synthesize. And so the word soon comes from those. And this word means to know between two. Or to know how two things work together. To know what those two things can do. And so sunesis is understanding. It's also the root for the word conscience. But not going there, how that applies. But this is a word to know what or how to put things together. To put information together. I got this. I got that. I got this. How do I put those together? You know, sometimes you get a thought. I know that might be surprising, but you get a thought. And then you got another thought. And then you got another thought. And you got to put those together. You know, as I'm studying and I'm preparing my lessons, I'm reading different things, I'm studying different parts of the Word, I get a thought here, and that doesn't mean, Jeff, go preach that, because sometimes I need to put that thought together with something else that limits what that thought was about or expands on what that thought was about. So it's understanding is putting these things together. So going back to the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom, but there's also spiritual understanding. I need the Holy Spirit to help me put these things together. Not just me. No, I like to cook, especially I like to bake, as is evident. But I like to bake, and usually baking involves things that are sweet. Anyway, but knowledge is, here's all my ingredients. Wisdom is understanding what they're going to do. I'm going to make a cake. That's going to be the outcome. But understanding is how to put them together. I can't just take my flour, my eggs, you know, and the sugar, and just dump them all in the bowl and mix it up, and it's going to come out a cake, because sometimes there's different ways to do things, and you got to add this, and you got to have this understanding. And making bread can be an art. Decorating a cake can be an art. That's why I make my cakes. I make them either just a sheet cake or whatever, because then there's no layers to do and all the putting together thing to do and all of that. I can just put it in there. But understanding is how to put those things together. There's teaching in the New Testament, things that Jesus said, and Old Testament stories. How do I put all that together? How do I put, Jan's been reading a commentary on the life of Joseph, and she's been sharing different parts with me, and it's incredible insight that this man presents. But he's not just looking at reading Joseph's life. How does that apply? How does it apply as what Christ has done for us? How does it apply for us as we walk through life? So there's putting those things together. That's understanding. And I can't just do it myself. I need help. Paul knows they need help, but he can't be there standing by their side to do all of this. He could say, well, the Holy Spirit's there. He's inside of you. He can do it. But I don't know about you, but I'm not always listening to what the Spirit is saying. I'm not always obedient to what the Spirit is saying. But Paul says, I'm praying that you will. So his prayer is going to do what maybe they can't do or they aren't doing. And so is to bring about God's purpose in that. So again, coming to the top of your next column, it's spiritual, again, as we've talked about that. This is spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding, not just what comes to our heads. As I said, the world has many different philosophies. And I think if you went to the world today, I don't think you could even locate what is the prevalent philosophy of the day. Because some people say, well, this is my truth. It's not truth. It's just the way you think. It's the way you want things to be. But there's only one truth. And so this is spiritual. I need the help of the Spirit to show me, lead me, reveal to me the wisdom and the understanding that God wants me to have. And Paul says, I can't just teach you that, but I'm praying for you. I'm praying that God will do this, which I myself cannot do, which you yourself cannot do, or Paul wouldn't say, I'm praying that it happen. I'm invoking God to do in your life what I can't do, what you can't do by yourself, what the world can't do for you. And so the purpose of the plans that God has oftentimes contradict what is natural wisdom or natural understanding, worldly wisdom, worldly understanding, what your teachers has said, instruction that you've received. It contradicts, or sometimes it exceeds. It goes beyond. You know, it will lead us into places that the world could say, well, that won't work. That doesn't happen. Trusting God, how's that going to work for you? Well, it does. What's prayer going to do? And I know there's a lot of people that reach that. He was like, well, I prayed and it didn't happen, and therefore I don't think God sits on the throne anymore. Oh, man. Pastor Bob said, fear is when we think God was on his throne yesterday, but today's not. You know, so, you know, everything happened in between, and so I have to fear the future because Jesus is no longer in control. Yeah, he is. It just because I don't see it doesn't mean he isn't. And so I can't go with the world's way, because what the Spirit is revealing to me may contradict what the world is saying or what natural thinking would say. Or maybe, KK and Moses, close your ears here, might tell you things that your parents said that aren't necessarily true. How many learn things from your parents that aren't true?
Santa Claus.
Okay, there we go. But, yeah, and so parents taught out of their limited understanding. But God says, no, that's not really the way it is. You need to listen to me. Now, we don't have to be rebellious about it, but sometimes we need to take it differently. I didn't need to correct my grandmother on whether my grandfather was in heaven or not. I could have just thought that within myself and kept my hand over my mouth. But I didn't. And sometimes, you know, we say what we shouldn't. But God's wisdom is different than the world. Paul argues for that, argues for it, but presents it, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and then into the beginning of chapter 2. He says, we don't follow the world's wisdom. The way of the world's wisdom is foolishness. But what we're doing is foolishness to them. And so we think they're foolish, and they think we are. But I'd rather be on my side following God than on their side listening to the world.
Amen.
I tried that, and sometimes it just doesn't work. So all of this, what's the purpose of all of this? And really, these next phrases really sum up the heart of Paul's prayer here. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. And we'll get to the fully pleasing next week. But this first two parts, so as to walk worthy of the Lord. And let's talk about this word, so as to walk. The Greek word peripateo, or pateo. Peripateo means to walk around, to walk about. Or in biblical ways, it means to have a lifestyle. Let this be the manner of your life, the way you live, to walk around like this. And what does that indicate? If it's walking around, it's so that the world can see. It's not just me walking around before God. It's me walking around so the world can see that I'm walking a different way. So that you might walk in a way that is fully pleasing to the Lord, that I might walk according to his purposes, not the world's purposes. And there's many times the things that we follow are the same as the world is living. I mean, you can't change gravity. You can't change certain things that God has set in order. The world can teach us to listen, to be educated, to follow our parents' ways and all those things. But there's also what God is showing. And we need to walk in a way that is displaying to the world, if I could use that analogy. Display, I'm living a lifestyle that shows that I'm different than the world. That doesn't mean I have to be abrasive. And sometimes it's not so much that it's drastic or dramatic. It's just that my way is just a little different sometimes. And other times it's greatly different. But we need to walk about. But here's the point. The point is that this word, to walk about shows it is dependent upon or the result or, and the result of what preceded. Fully knowing the will of God, be filled with the knowledge of God and His will, with all spiritual wisdom and all spiritual understanding. So based on those things, I am to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Without those first things, filled with the knowledge of His will, with all spiritual understanding and spiritual wisdom and understanding, I can't fully walk in a way that is worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. I might walk kind of. I might be filling some of it. I might be pleasing the Lord a bit. But I want to fully please Him. So Paul puts that adverb in front, fully pleasing Him. Not just kind of, not just occasionally. Fully pleasing, again, we'll get to that next week. So this word to walk about means I've got something, I've got instruction, I've received something so as to walk or to manner my life or display my life. I've got something, but then there's something that follows. Why am I walking this way? What's the purpose of this fact that I am walking in such a manner, worthy of Him, pleasing Him? The purpose is that the world can see it. I'm not just living differently. I'm doing it so that it does accomplish what follows. I want to walk in this manner. You know, we can go and we can tell people, you need to walk this way, or you need to live this way. But if they don't understand why they're doing it, they'll only do it for a little while, or as long as it seems to work, or till it's, you know, too excessive. Like those New Year's resolutions that we made, that were already, what was it I made? What was that resolution? I was going to get up and exercise every day and do all this kind of stuff, and that lasted for what, 2 days? You know, and so I don't want to start and quit. I want to walk in this manner. I want this to be an ongoing process, and that's again what's implied by this verb. It's dependent on what came first, and it produces what follows. So it's in the middle, walking in this way. But there's more to it. Paul is saying, you don't always know how I'm supposed to walk, what I'm supposed to do in this situation, how I'm supposed to adjust to this thing that changed or that thing that's come upon me. How do I walk through this? Anybody ever ask that question? You know, what do I do? How do I go through this in such a way that pleases God? And so Paul says, I'm not just asking that you learn this, but I'm praying that you do. I'm praying for you to have this knowledge, wisdom, understanding, so that you can walk. I'm not just going to leave it up to you and say, you need to walk in a manner that's pleasing to the Lord. Because maybe you haven't done those first things. Maybe you don't even know how to do them. So Paul says, I'm praying that for the knowledge, I'm praying for the wisdom, I'm praying for the understanding. Why? So that you can walk. Because that's the heart of my prayer. I don't just want those things for you. The purpose of my praying is so that you can walk in this manner. Not just to have them. I don't want to just know the Bible so that I can just repeat it to you. Or, you know, just spew it back. I don't want that. I want to know how to apply it in my life and in yours. I want to see God doing those things through you, not just me telling you to do that. That might work while we are just growing or just come into the things of God, having someone to instruct us or to tell us, but we all need to grow. Amen. To the place where I'm not dependent on you telling me. I'm receiving these things from God. And Paul says, you know what? I'm going to pray that that happens. And part of your fulfilling of this, part of your ability to walk in a manner fully pleasing to the Lord, is through my prayer. Paul would say that. My prayer is affecting this. Not just your education. Not just your relationship with the Lord. But the prayers that I offer are helping to accomplish this in your life. And so what is this walk worthy? And so it's defined as a walk that is worthy of the Lord. Now, I know that can be taken a couple different ways. We think of being worthy. Our understanding is I have to do this in order to get that. And so we see worthy as a way to obtain something, but that's not the biblical use of this word. That's not the way the Greeks thought of it. You weren't worthy to get something. You got something, and now you show worthiness. You show it working in your life. You balance what has been given with what you are doing. And so in the Greek mind, just, you know, to throw this analogy out, in the Greek mind, you are free. What are you doing with it? And we could say the same thing for believers. You're free. So what are you doing about it? And the what are you doing about it is the worthiness. Worthy comes from the Greek word, you see it there, axios. A-X-I-O-S. Axios. So Paul says, being filled with the knowledge of his will, with all spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy. The Greek word axios actually means to balance out, to balance two things. God has given this. How are you going to walk to balance it out? What God gives is so much more than what we can have. So much more. We'll never be able to equal it out, but I am working on adjusting my life to show what God has done in me. This axios, of course, is the root for our word axle, which the purpose of was to balance the weight. The purpose of an axle wasn't so that all the weight is just on one wheel. It's shared by the other wheel. And so this was a revelation, an invention that in many ways changed the world. And we do the same thing, you know, when we realize what Christ has done for us. I can't repay him for what he's given me. I'll never come close. Not even in all eternity will I come close to being able to show God or give back to him what he has given to me, because the only reason I'm in heaven is because of what he gave me. So how do I balance all of that out? I don't, but I want to walk in such a manner that shows what God has done in me. I don't want to live my life just having received from him without showing it, without demonstrating it, without producing something in my life. And so this is not works that gain you something. It's works that follow what you've received. If you've been set free, live that way. If you've been granted peace from God, live with that. If God has made you righteous, then deal with righteousness. Deal righteously with people. Deal righteously with your culture, with your surroundings, with your people, with your family. Do these things in a manner that shows that what you have received is how you're going to live. To have the lifestyle that shows the worthiness of what God has given you. I didn't have to earn this. You know, in a sense, we are all unworthy of salvation. Is that true?
Yes.
We're unworthy. We don't deserve to be saved. However, God determined that we were worth the blood of his son. How? What had I ever done that was worth the blood of his son? Nothing. But he determined it. That's where we come back to sovereignty. God determined. It was his choice. That all you have to do is believe. Not earn it. Not buy it. Not work for it. All you need to do is believe. Because I have given my blood for you. You were worth the blood of my son. That's craziness. But it's God's purpose. In myself, I'm not worthy of salvation. But God made me worth the blood of his son. Isn't that incredible? It's almost like that doesn't fit. I can't put that together. No, you can't. Because that's the overwhelming grace of God. And I know this is going to be a shock to some of you. I'm not lovable in myself. Now, Jan says I am. But don't ask her about all the time. I'm not lovable. But God has shed his love abroad. The Greek phrase there, shed his love, means overwhelmed me so much with his love that I can't contain it. That's what shed his love abroad means. It's not that his love is flowing out for me. It's his love has overflowed me. I can't contain the love of God that has been showed toward me. His love has overwhelmed me. Isn't that a glorious thought? That his love is so great that I can't even comprehend, which Paul's going to get to in his prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, that you might know all these things. Are you ever going to come to the knowledge of the fullness of what God's love towards you means? In the height, in the depth, in the width, in the breadth? Are we ever going to get all of that? No, but it doesn't mean we can't be pursuing it, looking at it, considering it. Yeah, and so Paul prays that you'll have this. So to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1. Paul uses this same phrase. He uses it in a couple other places in the New Testament where he talks about being worthy of what God has done. Being worthy. Not to own it. Not to obtain it. Not to gain it. But because you have it. I can walk worthy of his calling. Now that's not his calling to be a pastor or a teacher or whatever. That's not the calling of God he's talking about. It's your calling towards salvation. Your calling to be a believer. Your calling to be a Christian. God has called you to be a believer. Honor it. Honor that call. Live your life in such a manner that you're doing your best to balance what Christ has given you. You'll never reach that. You'll never come to the full, to the balance where it's equal, and neither will you ever get to the place where it exceeds. You can't. You cannot exceed the grace that God has shown toward us. But I want to live in such a manner that people say, there's difference. I want it to be my lifestyle. Amen. I want this to be the walk. And notice what it says, a manner that is worthy of the Lord. This is worthy that shows him. Worthy of what he has done for me. Not what the world has done for you. Not what parents have done for me. You know, if somebody gave you $1 billion, great, wonderful. You know, not because you were worthy, but sometimes because you were. People get paid $1 million salaries. I don't know how that happens. You know, it's just like, really? He's just a football player? And he's worth $20 million a year? Really? I mean, really? My mind just doesn't contain that. I don't know. I've never had $1 million, but that's because supposedly they earned something. I didn't earn anything that God has given me. what I want to show in my life is what I'm doing, how I'm living, how I'm teaching, how I am fulfilling my call upon my life as a believer. I want it to show to some degree an equaling out, a balancing out of what God has invested in me. I wrote a thing one time, and I know it bothers some people when I even give you the title of this, and I'm not going to go any further. But I was coming back. I was on my way home from China, and it was the trip that Jan went with me on, and we were just sitting there, and I was looking at some of the pictures. Times on the plane, I would go through some of the pictures I'd taken and select ones, and I was looking at all these different places, and all of a sudden, I was just overwhelmed with emotion, looking at these people I'll never see again. I'll never know them. And in our ministry, in my 18 trips, we never went back to the same church twice. It just that was the way, that was the purpose of it, just to go and be there. And I was just overwhelmed by looking at all those things and thinking about those people we had seen, little villages way out in nowhere land. And this phrase came to me, I want to go to heaven empty. Now that doesn't mean I don't recognize that God is going to give us rewards for all that we've done. Is that true? We'll receive rewards for the things we've done in His name. And there are rewards that God gives those who serve Him or whatever. But the empty I was thinking of is what God has given to me. I want to give it out. I want to have given out everything that God has given to me. That's what I mean by empty. I don't want to reserve some. So when I get to heaven, I said, hey, Jesus, I did 50% of what you asked me. So here's the rest back. He doesn't want that back. He wants me to have spent it for Him. And that's what I meant by to go to heaven empty. And I wept my way through writing this little meditation. Because I don't want to reserve what God has invested. I want to live a life worthy of what He's invested in me. He didn't put it in me just so I could give it back to Him. He gave it so that I could live it, show it, share it. And I know people use this phrase, and I'm trying to close here, but I can't. People use this phrase, we need to preach the Bible and sometimes use our words. People quote that as being from St. Francis. And they say that's the way St. Francis prayed. I want to preach the gospel, and if I have to, use words. Well, first of all, St. Francis never wrote that. That was somebody else's writing. And next, he didn't just use his life. He wrote words. He wrote a lot of words. He preached a lot of things. So he didn't just preach the gospel if he had to. Living your lifestyle is supposed to draw people's attention so that you can, what? Speak words. So that you can tell people. So that you can educate them, lead them, correct them, convict them. But that's the living. I don't want to just live and hope the world catches the message. Because watching me will not get anyone saved. But preaching the gospel will. So, there's my commentary on that. And if that messes you up, I'm sorry. But no, I'm not sorry. Because the truth is, I want to honor Him. And the next thing we'll move into next week is fully pleasing the Lord, bearing fruit. Father, we just thank You for the truth of Your word. We thank You, Lord God, that You have given